That's coming through crisp. I'm ready to play football even though I'm injured.
It's just hype music, that's all.
Oh my god. I love it. That was a solid start. Better than our last week's one where we couldn't hold it. Oh my god. Hello everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week's late. Again, obviously we got tie-ups, but this week's NFL week 4. Run through the scores. I'll probably skip a couple for obvious reasons. No, I won't.
There's to be no skipping.
Friday's game was the Broncos and Jets, 37-28 to the Broncos.
Wish we could skip that game, but
We can skip the dumpster fire games. The Jags against the Bengals. The Bengals, 33-25. The Cleveland Browns beat the Dallas Cowboys 49-38. That's such a high score. But anyway, I'm sure we're talking about it.
Oh my god.
The Saints beat the Lions 35-29. The Seahawks, still 4-0, beat the Dolphins 31-23. The Dolphins were extremely competitive, but we'll talk about that later.
Those plucky teams from Florida, they just won't go away.
The Bucs beat the Chargers 38-31. The Ravens beat the Washington football team 31-17. The Panthers beat the Cardinals 31-21. The Vikings have left the Texans still winless 31-23.
I went for Houston.
We'll touch on Bill O'Brien later. The Rams beat the Giants in a spirited sort of game, 17-9 for other reasons.
That was spirited, was it? It only got spirited at the end.
I think it was spirited if you watch it. There was a little bit of spirit the whole time.
That was a niggly game.
The Colts, they're a surprise packet. I'll put it that way, but you can't write their defense is solid, man. 19-11 over the Bears.
And the thing is, their offensive line is good too. Like, you know, it's just that they've just got that sort of lower level receiver. But if you've got time and you give Phillip Rivers time, he puts it on the money.
Yeah. Oh, and they brought great. They have a really good D. They got that D from the 49ers, that edge rusher, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, DeForest Buckner.
The Bills, 4-0. They beat the Raiders 30-23. The Eagles beat the 49ers 25-20. The two Tuesday games are usually won, but obviously for COVID reasons they had to move it. But the Chiefs beat the Pats 26-10, and the Packers beat the other winless team. There's a couple of winless teams, but a surprising winless team, 30-16 over the Falcons. Go ahead, you start where you want.
The few games that we sort of get. To watch that are either on pay TV or on 7Mate, like, you know, to me, we start off on the Thursday night / Friday game.
Oh, it's better to start.
Look, I didn't expect a whole lot from Jets Broncos, but it actually sort of turned into a fairly entertaining game. Jerry Jeudy, the rookie for the Broncos, gets his first TD of his career. I don't know if he actually seen that or he sort of plucked it straight off. The defender just helmet.
He sort of jumped over him a little bit and then sort of plucked it.
It should have been an interception.
Yeah, 100%.
But he plucked it off. He plucked it off his helmet.
Yeah.
And then spun around and got into the end zone. It was there. It was a crazy play.
It was an all-round good effort by their entire offense for Denver. I mean, obviously Melvin Gordon getting 107 yards, but an unknown Tim Patrick, you know, getting
TD
and 113 yards. So offensively, they were great. Defensively, they're still letting in some points.
The Jets looked like a semi sort of competent team, but they couldn't stop giving away penalties. They got a little bit more discipline as the game went on. I think they only ended up having 11 accepted penalties by the end of the game. But they had 8 penalties for 83 yards given away in the first half. You can't expect to win like that.
You also, to me, you can't expect to win with your leading quarterback also being your leading rusher. Well, you know, he played good, but, you know, to be the leading rusher, I mean, they've only got Frank Gore, but 84 yards and a TD, that's just, that can't happen. I mean, it's,
well, the thing is, too, he got flushed out of the pocket a lot, too, yeah. Sam Darnold. And when you can't, when you've got nobody, I guess, to sort of throw it to a lot, you know, Crowder's their number one there by, you know, by a wide margin.
Yeah.
You know, he did well. He had over 100 receiving yards, but it, you know, Darnold got flushed out of the pocket a fair bit. So he had no choice but to, you know, but to run. So, yeah, that's, look, it got interesting. You know, Denver had the game well in hand, and in two series, you know, Rippon throws a pick six to Desir, who was the one that had the Jerry Jeudy ball plucked off his helmet.
And then
the very next series, Rippon throws another interception.
Yeah.
And you're just like, man, are they trying to lose this? Are they trying to lose this game?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the Jets, like the Jets made them pay, but it come down to right at the end, and then a sort of key sack. With only inside the 2 minute warning, I think it was on fourth down as well, where Darnold gets sacked, and that essentially sort of shot the Jets' chance. And he got hurt in that game too. Like, he got thrown down pretty hard on his left shoulder, so his non throwing shoulder. But he come back in the game, and I think I'm not sure if too many people, you know, I'm pretty sure in our preview, We covered that that Joe Flacco is a part of the New York Jets. So Joe Flacco come in for a couple of series while Darnold was on the bench. So, you know, not on the bench, but in the little blue pop up tent.
Yeah, Bradley Chubb smashed him.
He only threw two passes. So, yeah. But I think it was a lot of handoffs. Trying to sort of get Frank Gore into the game, which just didn't happen. You know, 13 rushes for 30 yards. That's just.
That's not Frank Gore.
Le'Veon Bell back, and there's a possibility that he'll be back this week.
Yeah. Across the board, their defense sort of stepped up. I mean, I just mentioned Bradley Chubb, but I think it was the linebacker Josie Jewell, getting two sacks as well, and getting 10 total tackles with 8 solo tackles. He just seemed to be sort of everywhere, really, I guess.
But this is Bradley Chubb's defense now that Von Miller's not there, so. And you know, Chubb did well as well, you know, he had 2.5 sacks. So, you know, he was very much bothering Sam Darnold a lot. So, Denver getting the job done, you know, with Brett Rippon throwing 3 interceptions and they still win. So, look, you know, it's all credit to Denver. That's walking into New York and getting the win. And that's all you can. That's all we can do, and that's all we can hope for a team, even though it is against the New York Jets.
Well, and they'll be 0-4, man. It's just going to be a shootout to see who's going to end up with Trevor Lawrence, because it could go.
Well, there's a few. I mean, who's you know, going into week 5, like, you know, sort of going a little bit off topic. Who's the 0-4 team that's going to get their win first? So we've got the Jets. We've got the Texans, we've got the Giants, we've got the Falcons. Like, who gets
Who's
off the duck?
Who's going to get their win first? Well, first.
Who gets off the duck?
Logically, you would have to think Texans, surely, logically.
I would think Texans or the Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have to think. I think the two New York teams could... Yeah, man, that could go either way. I think they're going to be one of the ones.
I don't see the New York teams doing much. So Atlanta's got Carolina coming to town. The Jets have got Arizona coming to town. Oof. Houston have got Jacksonville coming to town. So all the 0-4 teams at this point in time are all at home, and the New York Giants travel to Dallas. So who knows what's going to happen there?
I guess we. That's the next.
Well, just going by that, you probably would think Houston would be odds on, because Carolina aren't playing that bad.
No, they're not. No, that's right. I guess if we're staying on that theme of the games that sort of, I guess, you know, you can get on 7, Mate, and ESPN, the next one, I guess, was the Cleveland-Dallas game.
I woke up in the morning to get to go to work, and it was, I think there was still like 6 minutes or 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, and it was 28-14 to Cleveland. Yeah. It's just like, what? Go on, hit me with it,
because I don't know when it's going to hit you with it. When a guy has to throw 58
times.
Phenomenal.
For 500 yards.
That's absolutely phenomenal. You can't. It's just like, if you look at the Drew Breeses of the week, you can't sustain doing that. But when a guy has to throw that many yards, or attempts, I should say, you just know you're in trouble. And unfortunately, we're just in trouble. Like, you could talk up the offensive, because the offensive are the only way they're keeping in it. It's the defensive. They're just giving Baker Mayfield again, like the other teams have had enough time to throw the ball. He didn't play too well. And I mean, you know, he did his Baker Mayfield sort of show off stuff. Odell Beckham played well. Mayfield looked good. I thought
Odell Beckham Jr. had a 50-yard rush.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I shouldn't be laughing at it. But the thing is, though, when you get down so much, then you essentially take away the run game. Like, you can't let the clock keep ticking. When you get down so much, you have to turn to the passing game so you can stop the clock. And, you know, the Cowboys ended up scoring 24 points in the fourth quarter.
Because they got 24 points scored against them in the second quarter, which is
exactly
24-0. Like that. Oh,
it was 31-14 in the first at halftime.
Yeah. They were riding pretty good in that sort of first quarter, and then I have absolutely no idea what happened in that second. I honestly have no idea what happened.
Jarvis Landry passed for a touchdown.
Oh my god,
that pass was on the money too. Damn, yeah, that was a good pass.
That was a nice sort of floating pass. That was pretty good. That was a good setup play, but I don't think many teams could have stopped that. Wow. Sorry, I should.
You're not expecting it, and he sort of got out of the pocket a little bit, and yeah, had a bit of a running start. I think it was 37 yards. So, you know, that's not. And I think it was a catch in the end zone. Like, I don't think there was any run. It was a catch in the end zone. So,
The one bright star out of all that for me was my boy CD Lamb. That I'm trying to put in every team at the moment. You know, getting two touchdowns. I said it to a couple of people earlier. I think he's fast becoming the second, WR2 for Dallas over Gallup. I just think, you know,
absolutely.
He has great hands. And he runs routes really, really well, really well. So, and Amari just does Amari things, which is fine. So CD can just do the route running. Probably. So, yeah.
A total of 307 Cleveland rushing yards on 40 attempts. Yeah, that's unflattering. Look, I've got a little bit sort of more, unflatteringness coming your way. The Dallas Cowboys have allowed 146 points in their first four games, the most in Dallas Cowboys history. Yep. They are 32nd in total points allowed. So that's bottom of the league. yards conceded, you know, per game. That's rushing and throwing. 460 on average. That's good for 30th in the league. So that's, you know, third last. This is
That's average. My God.
That's average. That is insane. 460 average per game.
Continue.
How in the hell do you keep up with that?
Oh, you can't. You can't.
And this is the first time that the Cleveland Browns have put up 28 plus points in a first half since 1991.
Oh, wow.
So that's a pretty historic kind of game. Yes, I mean, I didn't catch a lot of the second half, and all I seen was the highlights of them trying to, you know, the Dallas Cowboys trying to come back. So
I seen bits and pieces of it, but when I seen that, I literally thought it would be in a time. Just before work, and when they scored 24 unanswered points in the second quarter, I went, nah. I didn't even listen to it on the way to work.
Well, the funny thing was, too, that's, I mean, Dallas gets it all the way back to 41-38.
Yeah, with
the 2-point conversion, and then straight away that's where the Odell Beckham run comes into it. Like, you know, it's of game time. It's like 25 seconds later of game time, and they let Odell Beckham do that, and then all of a sudden you're back out to 9 points, and it makes it too hard then.
Too hard. Yeah. It's, I mean, I can't believe Dak Prescott threw 500 yards. Like, that is absolutely ridiculous.
And the other thing is, too, with Myles Garrett, he was there. He was very much bothering Dak Prescott a lot.
Oh, yeah. Garrett was having a field day. He ended up getting 2 sacks. Yeah, he did get 2 sacks, 2 individual sacks. Yeah. He was having a field day. So, which is, I suppose, if you're looking at it in that way, if, you know, Prescott still getting 500 yards is just phenomenal. He did get sacked three times.
You can't keep expecting
that. No, of course.
Before he throws 57 times, this week he throws 58 times.
That's the thing. Like, when coming in to this season, there was not one person that said, yep, Dallas has got the number one offense. Dallas is, you know, they got the CD Lamb. Their offensive is stacked. Not one person talked about their defense. And I don't even think one person in Dallas talked about the defense. And it's what's costing them. And I'm saying, like, one person, as in Jerry Jones or McCarthy. I don't think they really
invested. Jerry Jones is the one making the moves. He's the GM as well.
And he's also the, yeah, you're right. He's the GM. He's the owner and the GM. Oh, look, you couldn't have passed up CeeDee Lamb. That would have been ridiculous. That was a great pick.
Absolutely not. They took 17. The best available person.
And, you know, he's still young and all that. Oh, sorry, he's not young. Well, compared to other players, but, you know, Trayvon Diggs, is still learning. You'd say took him in the second round, but God, they just didn't dip in the free agency enough. I thought for defensive players, because they lost a lot. It's not the point. Right.
They've still got. Yeah, it's just, unfortunately, it's just not enough. You know, Jalen Smith, like you said, Trayvon Diggs. They've still got DeMarcus Lawrence there. So, Everson Griffin, like, they've still got good guys up front.
It's the
secondary that's just being completely and utterly murdered.
We'll move on to we'll keep going with the games that you can catch on 7Mate or ESPN. So the Bills are still undefeated, beating the Las Vegas Raiders 30-23.
The thing that you sort of take out of this as well, it's one of those games where Josh Allen essentially won that game off his arm and not off his legs.
Yeah, good point.
You know, he had -1 rushing yards for that game. So, you know, he had 288 passing yards, 24 for 34. So, and I think, you know, for him, and we've said it all year, and we'll probably continue to say it all year, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
That is a huge catalyst.
I think the
Bills offense.
I think it was one of those free agency pickups that really wasn't talked about enough. And they were talking a lot more about trades and everything, especially what was happening in the Texans. But it largely, to me, went a little bit unnoticed. And he is clicking so well already in that offense.
That's the thing, too. The only reason it's going unnoticed is because he's gone to the Buffalo Bills. But they're making people stand up and take notice of them and watch them, which is good.
Yeah. I still think, I think Allen's still got to shore up a couple of little things. I'm not saying he's not playing bad. He's not playing MVP.
He's still got a little bit of a fumbling problem.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Once he sorts that he hasn't got anywhere near the sort of fumbling problem that someone like Daniel Jones to that sort of extent, but once he starts to get a handle on that sort of on that sort of aspect of the game, then he's even got a great Devin Singletary is terrific in the run game too. You know, he's more of that, yeah, that pass catching running back more than just your traditional sort of thumper.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of, yeah, that just goes out there and just bashes up front. But that's, I mean, he helped out in that game. Their run game, the longest run that they had out of anybody was 14 yards. So, yeah, they had the big plays in the pass game. They shut down Josh Jacobs too.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you look at the flip side, it was pretty much the same thing. They, you know, Las Vegas were in there purely because of their passing, because they shut down Josh Jacobs very well.
Right. So Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow are two really good targets for Derek Carr.
Darren Waller, yeah, that, you know, I think he snuck into NFL one. Yeah, he was number 100 in that NFL 100 list that they do every year. He's a really good tight end. You know, I'm not saying he's up with your George Kittles of the world and all that, but, you know, he's got very good hands.
He's a little bit more than solid, I think. I think he's in that sort of, yeah, he's in that upper echelon. He's not a George Kittle or a Travis Kelce, you know, type, you know, elite just yet, but he is definitely in that upper echelon of good to great tight ends in the game at the moment.
Ex-Cowboys boy Jason Witten got his first touchdown for them too in that game. Only a little sort
it's
of
still,
thing.
It is so bizarre seeing him in a Raiders uniform.
In any other jersey.
It just doesn't compute when you see that. You're just like, huh? You think it's another guy called Winton. You're just like, that's not Jason Winton. That's Jason Winton.
Because we haven't really talked about the Raiders that much, because they've got a handy backup quarterback in Marcus Mariota. Is Derek Carr's not playing terribly? It's probably the best way to put it. He's not playing bad.
He's doing enough to keep Mariota on the bench.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's probably the best. You know, he had 311 yards. He did get sacked a couple of times. He did no interceptions, but
he's not. He's not costing them games.
No, that's right.
And that's really all you can do. Getting him being there as a backup as probably not so much lit a fire under his ass, but it's sometimes that can be the motivation of hey, I've really got to step up here, because we've got a pretty solid backup just sitting there in the wings, just waiting to come in and take over this team. I've really got to try and find something, you know. Henry Ruggs there as well.
Starting slow. He's starting pretty
slow.
He hasn't quite gotten
to the start. I think, you know, someone like Jerry Jeudy is very much involved in the Denver offense. But they, you know, they've had the injuries of Cortland Sutton and guys receiving like that in their receiving corps. Well. So, you know, that hurts as well. So he's not probably getting the touches, but he's only a rookie. So, you know, you just gotta wait and see and bide your time.
We'll move on. I don't sort of want to skip this game just because there's so many tasty things that happen in it. But don't get me wrong, it's the Rams and the Giants. It was pretty lackluster. The score 17-9. Again, the Giants didn't get a touchdown at all. So that was off three field goals. It was
time to get Graham Gano on your fantasy team. He's good for 9 points every week.
I don't know.
But at least he's consistent.
He's consistent. Good point. Yeah, that's actually a very good point.
Well, you don't want a guy who's just kicking PATs all the time. It's only 1 point.
There wasn't a lot into this game. It was very lackluster. I mean, the only thing I wanted to touch on just the sort of the juicy little 5 minutes right at the end there where Mr. Mouth, I guess he is mouthy, Jalen Ramsey. He's a phenomenal quarterback. Yeah. He's a phenomenal cornerback, very, very good cornerback. But he pretty much had Golden Tate lined up that entire game for certain reasons. Apparently, there was it's probably the worst way to say it. It's either apparently or allegedly, but Golden Tate was with Jalen Ramsey was with Golden Tate's sister, pregnant sister, and left her. So they have a couple of kids together, but he's apparently, and he's left her, and don't think Golden Tate took to that too kindly.
Spicy.
But you wouldn't think, going off the massive hit that Jalen Ramsey put on Golden Tate, you'd think it was more Golden Tate that was in, you know, in strife than the other way around. But right at the end there was just that, like, they must have looked at each other and just ran to the 50-yard line, because that's where it ended up.
Oh, it was on.
They were good. And the whole, like, you just see everybody crowd. Oh, my, it's funny, like, with NFL fights, like, everybody crowds in, and then they just sort of move everybody away. Like, yeah, no, let them fight. Like, let them do their thing. No one was trying to get people off, which is interesting.
No, it was a battle royal with helmets.
That's
helmets and pads.
It's like 100 people on that field too.
Oh, it looked like it. It was bench clearing. It looked like there was a lot of people there.
There was a lot of people there, but I don't know where the Giants go. The Giants weren't the fans weren't the biggest fan of Daniel Jones going into this game. Going into his pick six. I don't know where they go.
It's the thing of you know, what I sort of remember hearing during the draft and during the season last year, that Dave Gettleman, I'm pretty sure he's the GM there at the New York Giants, basically just trying to say to everybody, hey, I know talent. I know good talent when I see it. Nobody else is seeing the talent in this kid, in Daniel Jones, but I do. And it's the same thing with a couple of years ago with the Chicago Bears trading up to get Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. They want to ride or die with him because they don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, it's across the board. That's the other thing is, that's all these GMs and owners, just they don't want to be wrong. I mean, I look at Jerry Jones perfectly. He will never admit that, you know, a couple of mistakes he's made. He will never admit that. He will just have a terrible season, and rather than admitting, you know, we didn't draft well, we didn't go in free agency, or whatever. Like, yeah, that's exactly right. They don't admit they're wrong. They'll just ride or die. Exactly right. But if they keep playing the way they keep playing, they could end up with that generational quarterback. Because I don't see any New York team winning. I don't know how that works if they both finish winless, but I don't know
what it would be, whether it'd be count back, or especially if they do a Detroit Lions and go 0-16.
Unless they play each other. Do they play each other this year?
I think we looked at that last week, and I don't think they don't play each other, so they've spared us all that. To finish up on that, like, it was both teams, you know, Goff only had 200 passing yards. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones only had 190 passing yards on 36 attempts. And Jared Goff had it on 32 attempts. So they're just a little dink and dunk, you know, type plays. It's not that aesthetically pleasing, but the Rams got the job done.
I think that's happening more and more if you look at sort of some of the games too.
Not many people are
doing the long bombs, which is fine. Like, you know, they want to protect their arms and all that, whatever. But there's a lot of dinking or just those little, what would you call them?
Just a check down.
Yeah, exactly. Just little lob passes. Yeah. Quick lob passes. So, you're right. It wasn't appealing game except for the last
one. Let's call it what it was. It was a poo game. It just ended really cool.
Which one do you want to talk about next?
Look, just to sort of go through the Saints and the Lions just quick, you know, that was a high scoring game. The Saints got into a 14-0 hole to start with, and the Lions are like, you sort of stood up and took a little bit of notice of Detroit, and you're like, all right, cool, no worries. And then New Orleans just decide to rattle off 35 straight points. And to Detroit's credit, you know, that they weren't out of it and they fought back hard and they got it back to the final score of 35-29. Yeah, they were there or thereabouts. And, you know, once again, it's sort of New Orleans looked good for, you know, probably three quarters of that game. It's good to see Emmanuel Sanders getting involved in the passing game. I think he's had he had his best game as a Saint.
Easily.
I think he had what did he have? He had six receptions for 93 yards. So that's good to see that, but there's the possibility of Michael Thomas coming back this week. So
it's what you need.
Absolutely. You know, and this, it's, I mean, for a, you know, for a high scoring sort of, you know, sort of game, the way that it was, yeah, there wasn't really a lot of passing yards sort of thrown out there. You know, Breeze only threw for 246, Stafford only threw for 200 plus, like 206 yards. So it, you know, to say that the Lions, yeah, that they fought their way back into the game. You know, even with the 2-point conversion on the last touchdown, but it just left them with too much to do. They got too much into the hole, 35-14. You know, after Latavius Murray scored in the third quarter, and that was pretty much it. Like, you know, surely the Saints wouldn't have been able to gag that game away and sort of get the season sort of back on track, which is good. And you know, I just wanted to touch on that game real quick.
Yeah, I just, the thing I wanted to touch on with that, just the thing I sort of took away from that, and I'm leaving it for judgment at the moment, but Adrian Peterson was the top rusher in that team. He did get a touchdown. He only got 36 yards. I don't know if they're just sort of, I guess, grooming, or Peterson's just helping or grooming DeAndre Swift.
They're using him a lot in the passing game. They're not quite using him as a, you know, as a heavy hitter in the run game just yet. Yeah. They're using him more as a pass catcher, and they're just getting as much as humanly possible out of Adrian Peterson's body. I think, you know, he's never been the greatest pass catcher in the world. He is just your true, you know, thumper up front and getting yards after the carry, yards after carry. So,
it's fine. I mean, I'm leaving judgment. I just don't know if they're just going to stick with that for the rest of the year and do exactly what you say, or they're just grooming, you know, that it's slowly getting DeAndre Swift into the running sort of game. I don't mind him using in the receiving call. He ended up getting a touchdown, but I'll leave judgment, because I suppose it's hard to say, because you just expect when they draft these high running backs, or the high in the draft, you just expect them to play straight away. If you look at your Josh Jacobs of the world, and
no, that's right, especially for the Lions too. As well. So, you know, who are they need help, and they need help now. Mm. So, you know, if they want to, you know, have any sort of shot of making, you know, making the playoffs in the, I think they're in the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, I mean, the Lions aren't really playing that badly this year, but unfortunately for them, that's their third loss out of four games this year, where they've led by 10 points or more.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're getting off to sort of hot starts and sort of putting the opposition on the back foot. They just can't sustain, sustain the rage and, you know, to keep it up for the 60 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, they're in a pretty tough division. Like, no one would think the way the Bears were going, like they'd be, they would be 4-0 at the moment. They're just,
What's mean? Is that a false 4-0? I don't know what to think of the Bears at the moment. Like, they're just.
Let's talk about that game. They did lose it, because that was a fairly decent game, the Colts and the Bears. Low scoring aside, that was their sort of first loss. They have a phenomenal defense, you know. Their defense is phenomenal. And at the moment, by the looks of it, Nick Foles isn't playing too bad.
He gets the start. So it was just, I think for Chicago, they've just got such a poor running game, and they have to rely on whoever it was going to be, whether it's Trubisky or Nick Foles and their right arm. That's what they've got to rely on, because their running game is just awful. Yeah, they only had 16 total rushes for 28 yards. In this game, like, you've got to be able to try and get something, out of your running game. Try and open up some gaps. For them to be 3-1 is amazing.
And David Montgomery wasn't sort of too bad last year. He had a fairly decent sort of season. Poor season alone, sorry, for the Cowboys. He was pretty sort of decent last year, but sorry about that. Microphone issue. Yeah, you're right. I think their rushing was sort of terrible. They're very lucky they have Allen Robinson there.
That's right. He's been pretty good this year. Like, you know, Jimmy Graham. I think Jimmy Graham this year has played better this year than what he has the previous few, with Seattle and with Green Bay. Like, you know, Jimmy Graham's actually been all right.
A lot of people scoffed. I think they paid probably $12,000. I think for Jimmy Graham at 33 years old, and I think because they have a tight end already.
Yeah, they drafted a tight end, Cole Kmet. That's right. Yeah. So I guess they sort of he's that secondary, that second tight end there. But yeah, they're sort of using Graham Moore. I think he had 5 targets, 4 receptions. So
he's been fairly consistent this year, really. They did lose that game. You're right. I think the rushing sort of let them down. On the flip side, the rushing of Jonathan Taylor seems to be working wonders already. He looks the goods, you know.
He's taken over as the lead back there.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be Hines for a little bit, Nyheim Hines for a little bit, because I put him in my fantasy squad. But I didn't go crazy. I didn't go that crazy. Spent like $50 on him.
Once Marlon Mack went down,
yeah, everybody went crazy. But Jonathan Taylor, right? He's sort of taken over.
Taking over as the lead back, and he's producing the goods. Like, you know, that's all we can expect from a rookie running back. You know, 17 carries, 68 yards. That's all you can expect.
I think it's exactly what you said. I think the Colts are doing okay at the moment at 3-1 purely because of their offensive line is just protecting the hell of Phillip Rivers. He only got sort of sacked once, but he didn't throw any interceptions. So yeah, you've said it before, Phillip Rivers. He was picked number 4, for God's sake, you know, in the very first round. So he is a great player. I don't know about you. Well, you thought he was going to go to Florida, didn't you? To Miami and and it was surprising that he went to Colts because they had, is it Jacoby Brissett they had there, or was that, is it Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, pretty sure it was Brissett would have been the starter for Indianapolis. And yeah, they went out and they sort of gone for the here and now, and grabbed Phillip Rivers. So
and it's working.
It's working a treat so far.
Because they're in the AFC.
They're in the AFC North.
North. North? No, they're in the AFC South. So.
Sorry, my bad. AFC South.
Yeah, they're.
Look, that's a division too. That you think that it's a 2-horse race, and especially the way that it is at the moment with the Texans, just doing what the Texans do at the moment, and Jacksonville sort of aren't that terrific at the moment. So you know, it's essentially come down again to a 2-horse race between them and Tennessee. So.
And Tennessee are lining it up at the moment. I mean, they didn't play that. They're a bye on that purely because of COVID rules.
No, that's right.
So they still are 4-3-0 at the moment. So
they had the bye. The Steelers had the bye this week. Woof, boy, they are really lucky that they're able to play this week, because by the end of it, they ended up having 20 positive tests. So they had their facility shut down for a long time. So. I think they're kind of lucky that they were able to play this week, you know, this upcoming week. I think the NFL is sort of having a bit of a deep dive into that game as well, or, you know, sorry, into that club as well, to see if they've violated any of their COVID protocols. So to have that many tests between players and staff is a little alarming, and we sort of, you know, we had obviously, this week as well, the Patriots having to travel to Kansas City and they traveled on two planes.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They had to, I think, didn't they?
Well, they had no other choice.
COVID and not was and probably just was it just Stephon Gilmore and Cam Newton in one plane and then
that's right. Well, I don't even think Cam Newton made the trip.
Oh wow. Oh no, he didn't. You're right. No, he didn't make the trip.
Stephon Gilmore, he made the trip, and then as they came back, and the funny thing was when they got back onto the apparently they tested them again when they got back onto the plane to come home. And Gilmore was negative again, and that it wasn't until they actually got back home, back to Massachusetts, and that's when the positive test come out, and then all of a sudden, just ESPN and Twitter just lights up, with all the news that Stephon Gilmore had tested positive, and it's just like, oh Christ, here we go, this could open up a massive can of worms, it's been manageable. For now, but just sort of circling back to the Kansas City New England game, they ended up starting Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I caught this game because that was the first Monday game.
Yeah, first George Tuesday game.
And they started pretty well, New England. They kept sort of Kansas City in check.
They had every opportunity to win this game.
Yeah.
And the funny little stat that I had coming out of that one was three times in Patrick Mahomes' career has been held to zero touchdowns in the first half.
It's all been the Pats, hasn't
guess
it?
Guess who?
Yeah. I remember, yeah.
All three times or against the New England Patriots?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's, I remember hearing
Bill Belichick,
that.
Bill Belichick's got. Belichick's got the know-how.
Yeah, he's got his number. He still couldn't get the W, but he did. Yeah, you're right. He's got his number.
And that was the thing. Like, there was two massive plays in that first half where Hoyer, you know, right before halftime, the one thing that he just could absolutely not do was take a sack. I think it was on third down, and he takes a sack, and it was a 15-yard loss, and you're like, oh my God. Like it just, and then in the second half, then they're on the charge again. They're in the red zone. He gets sacked, and the ball comes out, and they lose possession.
Yeah.
And you're like, my God, like you've got to walk away from that with at least 3 points, if not seven.
Yeah.
And it's just key things like that, and then all of a sudden Hoyer gets benched, and they bring Stidham in, and he's not much better, unfortunately.
Hoyer was a Hoyer or Stidham through that pick six. Pretty much to Mattiel. I think it was.
I think they threw it straight into his face, didn't they?
Yeah, literally. That's what I mean. Like they were deep in their sort of 10-15 yard line. And he literally, he could have walked. He literally could have walked over.
I think it was Stidham.
I think it possibly was Stidham. Well, I mean, he got two interceptions, so it's possible. It was Stidham. It took a while for Mahomes to get sort of going in that game. Once he got cooking, he was good. You know, fourth quarter, he got a lot better. But I think he sort of it looks like he's got his sort of boy back so slowly. But Travis Kelce, he played really good in that game for 70 yards. One big long run, didn't he? I think it was 45 yards.
Yeah, it was 45 yards. The thing was, though, like, you know, I think it was only for the first half, really. Like, he was a lot more efficient in the second half, but he had seven. That's, I mean, Travis Kelce's had seven targets, so that's not the greatest sort of ratio, you know, seven targets through reception. So, Mahomes just looked a little off. But like you said, once he gets cooking, then he's a man that's too hard to stop. It's just he's just impossible to sort to try and tie down, and New England tried to sort of, you know, bash Kansas City out of the game with the run game, and did a pretty good job of it, but just, you know, those couple of times where they're in the red zone, you know, the things that can't happen, they happen, you know, a fumble for a loss and a sack for a loss of 15. They're just things that can't happen. And, you know, unfortunately, New England don't look terrific if they don't have Cam Newton there.
They don't. Yeah. That you know, considering how long he was, you know, they were all in on Jarrett Stidham, I thought, or with Brian Hoyer. I can't remember which one they were all in on.
I had a funny feeling that it looked like they brought Hoyer back because he knows the offense, but if they didn't pick up Cam Newton, then I think they were going to go with Jarrett Stidham.
But they were never talking about Cam Newton. Everyone was saying that's the best place for Cam Newton to go.
They picked him up at a bargain basement price. Like, it was just everybody kept passing on him, and then all of a sudden Bill Belichick pops up and he's in a Patriots uniform, and you're like, wow.
But that is the absolute perfect place for Cam Newton to go. Like, you have a phenomenal coach. You know, he doesn't have to prove a lot.
Because it opens up the playbook.
Exactly. But he doesn't have to prove much. Like, you know, he's following a quarterback that's obviously he's one of the best ever, but he doesn't, it's not like he has to go out there and prove this is Cam Newton. He's not the person in that team that has to go out there and prove that he's Cam Newton again, if you want. It was all up to sort of Bill Belichick. He didn't have to bring him to the Super Bowl.
All Newton has to do is prove that he's healthy. And that's
all he had to do.
If he can stay healthy, then New England will be a threat again, you know, in the AFC East. But they looked a little disjointed. I think the news of Newton going down with COVID-19 earlier in the week, stunted their preparation a little bit, and they just didn't look great with Stidham and Hoyer at quarterback.
Yeah. Well, for me, I just wanted to finish quickly on the just because of how they're playing. It's just the Vikings, you know, got their first win against the Texans. I am trying to work out what's going on in the Texans. Obviously after this loss, their head coach and GM, which is absolutely ridiculous, Bill O'Brien, was unceremoniously let go.
Well, the McNair family, who owns the Texans, they had to pull the trigger on this, but it's too late. It's too late.
Mm.
Is it not?
I think so. The
straw that's broke the camel's back is the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I don't care what anybody says. Like, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. Jadeveon Clowney is a number one pick, a former number one pick there. He never really sort of, not so much lived up. He had that massive play when he was at South Carolina, and that's I don't know if you've ever seen that before, where he was playing in college, and I can't think of who the team was that he was playing against. He's a South Carolina, that's where he played for the Gamecocks, and he just runs through this poor offensive player, and his helmet goes flying off. And it was he cut this offensive player in half, and that play just went absolutely viral. And I'm telling you now, that's the only reason he got picked as the number one pick, because they seen that play. He's a solid player. Seen that massive play, and it's just like, oh, we've got to get him. Yeah, you know, they ended up trading him away for next to nothing. To Seattle. Yeah, they acquire Tunsil from Miami. Yeah.
They had to give Miami the next two first round picks. That could end up being wonders, being them 0-4 at the moment. So,
oh, that's what I mean. Miami just be sitting back rubbing their hands and going, oh, just keep losing, please. We're gonna get you next. There could be a super high pick.
Oh, it's going to be a super high pick the way they're playing. Are they losing? Well, they're not losing terribly, but are they losing because of DeAndre Hopkins, like, being let go?
He just doesn't drop catches.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Like, he is an absolute number one receiver. Yeah. Do you think over the past three years or so, you think the Saints are going to be much chop if Drew Brees doesn't have an absolute stud in Michael Thomas there?
That's a good point.
You know, this is a young quarterback in Deshaun Watson who can use his legs and get out of the pocket. You know, Drew Brees can't use his legs a whole lot much anymore. But, Deshaun Watson is a dual-threat quarterback. But Hopkins just does not drop the ball. And, you know, you've got they've got a bunch of seconds there. You know, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is probably more a number one receiver than any of them.
He had
three
game.
Targets and didn't get any catches.
Catches. Yeah.
They're relying on David Johnson to sort of help them out to try and get the offense running, but it's
not
and he's
either.
putting up okay numbers.
Yeah.
But he's been hurt the last 2.5 seasons, and you can't bash him out of existence, and all of a sudden you lose him, and oh boy, they are in big trouble.
It's interesting. The same thing happened to them last year that's happening now with like their O-line's terrible still. Like Deshaun Watson, you know, got sacked so many times last year. And they, it was all over the media everywhere like that. He can't keep sustaining these amount of sacks because he's just not going to be healthy enough. But it's still happening. He not only got those 3 sacks, I think he got 2 fumbles. So their O-line is just, capitulating. I didn't think DeAndre Hopkins was going to be a huge miss that much, but clearly it is. Maybe it is.
Not to say that to the extent that they're 0-4, but I knew it was going to be a gigantic loss. And for what they got back is just, it's honestly just not enough. And that's what I sort of said about the Tunstall deal. They got Tunstall and Stills from Miami, but they've sent 2 first round picks to Miami. They'd just be sitting back there going, oh, just keep it up, Houston, keep it up.
Yeah. Hopefully we didn't draft Tua for a bust because we might end up getting Trevor Lawrence for doing nothing.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, and that's the thing. See, if Houston keeps getting more terrible and more terrible, they could use those picks as a little bit of collateral, and they could use that to get somebody to help them now.
Yeah, but they're not going to be able to. That's the problem. They don't have them. The next 2 first rounds are gone. They do not have the two first rounds next year and the year after.
No, I'm talking about Miami.
Oh, Miami, sorry. Miami.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah,
like Miami could have a first round. Yeah, that's right.
So, any other game you want to finish on before we finish up?
Look, I thought like you said, that Minnesota game, I thought was probably the one. Like, yeah, we talked about Seattle and Miami there. Sort of at the start. Yeah, Miami just kept themselves in the game. They were only down 2 at the fourth quarter. All they could do was muster up 5 field goals until the final quarter. So I think that's sort of, but yeah, to keep themselves in the game and only lose essentially by 8 points against Seattle, who's just red hot at the moment. Just super red hot at the moment. Arizona losing 2 on the trot. I think it sort of brought them back down to reality, and we sort of said now that I don't think Carolina's playing that badly.
I think not to what we thought it was going to happen, at least.
I think Teddy Bridgewater has been a really good pickup for the Panthers, and I think that for me, they're exceeding expectations a little bit. No one thought
that Mike Davis, he's playing again, with the obvious glaring miss of Christian McCaffrey. Mike Davis is playing well. And I've said this at the start, and I will keep saying this. Robbie Anderson is a phenomenal, not talked about enough wide receiver that was picked up by Carolina from the Jets. I think he's sitting 5th at the moment, or 4th or 5th at the moment in wide receivers. He's really good.
He's quick. He's quick and he's tall.
Yeah, which is fine. That's all you need. 6'3". Yeah, no, he's tall.
he's up there. That's probably it. You know, I think Philadelphia did well to come away with their first win of the season. Nick Mullins, it doesn't look like he's sort of worked out that great there for San Francisco, who were just completely decimated in most facets of NFL football. I think he was another one that threw an interception like straight into a defender's face, and then they come away with and they bring in CJ Beathard, who once again wasn't that much better, but San Francisco still had the opportunity to actually win this game at the death with a 45-yard Hail Mary thrown by CJ Beathard that actually made the in goal. But yeah, it just didn't come off. Philadelphia get their first win of the season. George Kittle was an absolute monster coming back, an absolute monster.
Yeah.
And I've got a funny feeling that I think sort of Jimmy G will be back this week. So once they start to get a little bit healthy, they get guys like Mostert back, San Francisco should be able to right the ship, but the season is starting to skip away a little bit, and you can't get too far behind in that NFC West at the moment. You know, Seattle's 4-0, the Rams are 3-1, the Cardinals are 2-2, and San Francisco are 2-2. So you can't get too far behind, otherwise you'll just have too much ground to make up at the end of the season.
So we'll move on to our studs and duds of the week. Do you have your start of the week there?
Look, the start of the week for me, I thought was Tom Brady.
Interestingly enough, he
was huge in that fight back against the Chargers.
Yeah.
He was massive. You know, we didn't really talk too much about that.
No.
About that game, but they were down. The Bucs were down 24-7 in that game.
Yeah.
And they get some in. They clawed their way back. Mike Evans was massive in that game as well. But Brady started off pretty ordinary in that game. But as the second half sort of started to come around, he just lit it up. 30 for 46, 369 yards and 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers.
And did not get sacked once too. So that's what sort of tipped it over for me. I nearly gave it.
His first 5 touchdown game. In 3 years, since 2017.
Yeah. No, I had him as well. I nearly gave it to Dalvin Cook because Dalvin Cook is just he's the reason they won that game. He's just as – it is just – I swear he's probably got like 1% body fat. He's just an absolute – he's like –
He is just ripped as hell.
He's ripped as hell. And he must
and
be –
And the just, thing is too, like, the Bucks haven't got – They're a little limited the way that they're sort of offense at the moment. You know, with Fournette being gone, LeSean McCoy that they're essentially not using, and they haven't had Godwin, I think, since week one. Yeah. Or have they even have has Godwin even played this year?
I think Godwin's played 1 week, and we thought like, and I'm going back to fantasy sort of here. Everybody was like was drafting Evans and Godwin high because of what happened last year. We should have probably really top, thought
they,
about
they
it.
Were, they more. Were the They were unbelievable last year with Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston,
and granted, Jameis Winston threw 5,000 yards and he threw, 5,000 interceptions as well. But, I thought they were really going to step up with Brady being there, a nice safe quarterback who gets the ball out really quick. So, I thought now that OJ Howard's gone down as well, so they've lost one of their multiple tight ends. They still have Cameron Brayton. They obviously still have Gronkowski. So, OJ Howard went down in that game with an Achilles injury, so his season's over. So the way that Tom Brady sort of played in that game to fight and claw back against the Chargers, I thought was great. Justin Herbert looked pretty good in that game. I thought Brady was terrific to fight back, from 24-7 down.
He was brilliant. Yeah, he was. And
unanimous start of the week, I think, for the first time this year.
In NFL, I think so, yeah. What about your dud of the week? What?
Oh, it's that big star.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, man. Like that is just you can't let Cleveland walk in and just run roughshod over you in your own building. Like that just cannot happen. Just can't happen.
There's
not much more to say. Like we talked about it before. All the statistics that are just pointing and very much frowning down upon the Dallas Cowboys at the moment.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be unanimous. I was trying to look for something New York related. Trust me, I was trying to look for something New York related, but they didn't play. It was across the board. Like even you know, Zeke didn't have a great game there. I think he got one fumble and only 54 yards.
Down that far, that's what we said before, that you essentially take the run game out of it because you can't have the clock tick.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to throw the ball, and you have to hope that your completion rate is high so you can get the clock to stop.
Yeah.
Like if you're bashing it up the middle with Ezekiel Elliott, then the clock's ticking. Like you can't afford that.
I think the other thing, I'm sure I wrote it. Yeah, no, I did write it down here. They have not had an interception this year as well. Dallas Cowboys.
That was one of those teams. Yeah, I think we talked about that last week. I think there was three. There's three teams that haven't got an interception. And yeah, I don't see how they're ever going to get one. But one will fall to them sooner rather than later, right?
I think they play
the Giants next week.
It'll plop in their hands. They won't even know what to do with it.
They play the Giants next week. You know, Daniel Jones. They've got to get one of him, right?
Well, you'd think so, but oh my god, if they come in. If the Giants, obviously that's our rival team, you know, because they're in our division. But, and, you know, of all the teams we don't like, if you could talk to any Cowboys fan, it's the Giants, I guess, because of the, you know, how great the Giants were in the last so many years up until a lot, not lately, of course. But if the Giants,
the Giants have taken down the juggernaut of the last 20 years in two Super Bowls.
If they come in and beat Dallas, with the team that they have right now, I'm going to give up.
It's in Dallas. So
surely
2 weeks in a row, you can't let sort of below average. Not to say that Cleveland is a below average team, but I'll say that they're a below average team. They shouldn't be a below average team, but Cleveland
looks 3-1 now, aren't they?
It looks like Cleveland looks like starting to get it together a little bit.
They're 3-1, aren't they? I'm sure they're 3-1. Which is, you wouldn't pick it. I mean, even if they lost to the Cowboys, it still would have been 2-2. So, that's going to be a good sort of division, really. I mean, the Steelers haven't lost. The Ravens have only lost one, and the Browns have only lost one. And Bengals aren't playing too bad. They're not going to be there.
But the Bengals are going to ride or die with Joe Burrow, so they've got to hope that they get Tyler Boyd has obviously struck up a little bit of a combination with Joe Burrow, and AJ Green has essentially been, you know, non-existent. He's got 14 catches all year.
Yeah.
14 catches all year. DeAndre Hopkins in his first game in Arizona had 14 in one game.
They did the smartest thing of just franchise tagging him, and clearly he won't get any money now after this, but... I think that was a smart move. But Joe Burrow's got that's a cannon of an arm. I know he's young, Justin Herbert, but Jesus Christ,
and they're down a tight end too at Cincinnati with Azuma, who went down a couple of weeks ago. So you hope that their bell cow there in
Joe Mixon. Didn't he have a good game?
Joe Mixon was terrific this week. He had 25 for 151.
Yeah, and I think he got two rushing and one receiving touchdown. So, he
catches for 30 yards as well. Like Joe Mixon, you keep him healthy. You know, they've got a good. You could get a good dose of the run game there. You've also, you've got the Tyler Boyd, chemistry with Burrow is good. If they can get a little bit more work out of AJ Green, it'd really help them offensively.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Well, they put up 33 points this week.
Yeah. I like the way I have Tyler Boyd in a lot of fantasy squads because I like the way he plays. So, yeah, and he's still young. AJ I'm pretty
Green
sure he's still.
He is sitting on my bench at the moment, scoring 2 points.
You might have to turf him. It's hard. It's funny. Like he's one of those.
I can't do it though because
that's
the problem. He's
one of those ones. I've got – this is like A.J. Brown, the same thing, Tennessee Titans, who, if healthy and phenomenal, can be lethal. It's hard to give him up because you just think
– I can't just throw him away.
For that reason, because you think he's going to just come out and just blitz it. Like, that's – like, yeah, I agree.
Like Williams for the Chargers, though, I can absolutely throw him away. He's just – oh, oh.
Just
unbelievable. Like, you know, not so much to rival what Godwin and Mike Evans did last year, but Keenan Allen and Mike Williams last year were a really good 1-2 punch receiving combination for Phillip Rivers and the Chargers last year. And, you know, Mike Williams has had a couple of weeks out, but he's just getting zero work.
Yeah.
For the Chargers at the moment with Justin Herbert there. So, yeah, I could definitely put him on the dumpster fire.
on the dumpster fire.
Unbelievable.
Well, that'll do it for this week. That was week 4 of the NFL pod. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Facebook and Twitter, at Final Play Pod. Give us a like, give us a share, because then we'll see it. And we might give you a shout-out, who knows, depending on who you are, if we know you, of course. No, we'll give you a shout-out regardless, because that means you're listening. You can get them on gimco.com.au. Which is again grateful for us. It's reaching sort of, I guess, another era that we wouldn't have normally had. Well, I wouldn't have normally had. You would have had it possibly. So,
I didn't get in on this week's NFL festivities. So no, I didn't get in. I it was a little bit too late on it, I think. So I missed out. I missed out this week.
And then we'll have coming up soon, hopefully, we'll have the NRL coming up this week, the NFL as well, and we'll see about the NBA. Don't know where that's going to go. Hopefully he finishes this week, but I don't know. I'm not counting my chickens. If it goes to game 7, it's
They're not in trouble, are they? Are they in trouble?
I don't know.
Jimmy Butler's come out and said they're in trouble. So
Jimmy Butler said that when they lost and they were up 3-1. So Jimmy just say anything to get on LeBron's skin because he knows how good LeBron, and LeBron had a great game. It's the AD. Something's going on with AD at the moment. Last two games, he's coming in foul trouble. I mean, side subject, but yeah, I don't.
Not so much in game 5. Like he was good in game 5. It was just the supporting cast that was a little disappointing for LA. And you see, Jimmy Butler was just gassed. Man. He played 47 or 48 minutes.
Even post interview, when he got up, he could not walk that much.
He was dusted.
He was dusted. So we just need to exploit that. But
that's true.
Well, my name's Jason, and I've thought about this. Goddamn, if Giants win, I am going to be pissed and talk about it for 20 minutes next week, Smith. Because that's not going to happen.
I'm actually quite excited for this this week at the Saints on Monday night against the Chargers. So I'm Miles Go Saints Plum, so
that's okay. When you've got people like Cameron Jordan in there, it's all good. You can say that stuff.
We've got plenty of guys up front. Yeah, Ryan Ramczyk. You know, we've got guys that'll be coming back soon, hopefully, and Marcus Davenport as well. So you know, it's a bit of a mishmash. Saints sort of up front defensively and. I've said before that it just takes the Saints secondary a little while to sort of get into the groove and hopefully within the next few weeks they can sort of start stopping teams in that secondary. You get Marshawn Lattimore and guys like that can put the heat on some of the best receivers that are going around. So I guess we'll see, but yeah, I'm pretty happy that the Saints are getting another run on TV.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cowboys. That's the other problem with the Cowboys. As much as I love them, is
they're always on TV.
They're going to be. Unfortunately, they're going to be because because they're the Dallas Cowboys. But I don't want to see that. That's the problem. Unless they're winning, I don't want to see it at all.
Oh, you know one person who does want to see the demise of the Dallas Cowboys, and that's Stephen A. Smith. Oh man.
Whatever. Yeah. I've never liked him anyway because of the way he does it.
Man. when he had his radio show on there a couple of years ago, and I used to listen to it a lot. I sort of don't. I don't know how much First Take you watch, but he was a lot like, because he's a TV personality, right?
Yeah.
But man, he was loose on his radio show. Man, he was really good.
And he's a New York fan. Like, so he, of course he's got, you know, this, it's in the same division. Of course he is a Giants fan.
Oh, no, he's no. You know who his football team is? It's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I thought, yeah, but he's a New York guy.
No, he loves his Knicks and he loves his Yankees. Yeah, okay. Like, he makes no qualms about that. You know, his love for the Knicks and his love for the Yankees. But his squad, NFL-wise, is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, well, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Oh, no, it doesn't. But he works and he sort of has a bit of a soft spot for the Philadelphia Eagles too, because he and the 76ers, because he worked in Philadelphia for a while before, sort of, you know, as a beat writer and doing stuff like that as a sideline reporter for the Sixers. So he did a lot of stuff in Philadelphia as well. So he sort of got a bit of a soft stop for those guys as well. But yeah, I don't think he's a big fan of any of the New York football teams. If you listen to Stephen A. Smith, it's not the Cowboys, and he'll say it all the
Cowboys
time.
It's
the Cowboys fans. He'll say they're the most disgusting, nauseating fans on the face of the planet.
No, it's because
he would say that a lot on his radio show, man.
It's not that, but it's also because those silly people out there just keep biting on it. That's why.
Oh yeah, exactly.
If they don't bite, then he doesn't say anything. That's the problem. That's right. But we can't lose to the Giants tomorrow. I'm just, that's not going to happen. If I get on here, I have to talk about that game as a loss. I am going to spit it big time because I'm not going to talk about it.
I'm not going to root for any anarchy on this podcast. But
I won't talk about that. If we lose, I am not talking about that game. I'm saying that right now.
Okay, and I've got a whole notebook right here I can write down on. So
that's
fine.
You can do all the talking. I'll just go, That's fine. All right. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.
See ya.